First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Yeah. It says in the New Living Translation, there it is. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. Verse 10 says, he was the one who prayed to the Lord, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Amen. I've given this passage or this series the subject, A House of Pain. A House of Pain. And so I started this last week, so this today is A House of Pain, part two. Part two. Now, if you're joining us for the first time and you missed part one, you will not be in an uncomfortable position, because the content today is pretty much standalone content. And wherever there needs to be a bridge between what I've covered before and what I'm talking about now, I will make sure I connect the dots for you. And if you ever want to go back and see part one, you can do that at any time. Just go to one of our platforms and you can check out part one of this series. Now, as I said on last week, I called this message A House of Pain because of all the pain that is compressed within this pericope of Scripture. It is only five sentences in this entire passage, and yet you find pain throughout the context and the text itself. For example, in the passage, it talks about Jabez's mother having pain when she gave birth to him. Verse 9, and then as a result of that pain, she named her child Jabez, which means pain maker or sorrow maker or pain causer. And then when we look at Jabez's prayer in verse 10, part of his prayer was, Lord, please keep me from all trouble and pain. And so I called the place where he grew up a house of pain because it is obvious that there was pain in that place. And I don't do it to discriminate against him. And mindful, let me press into that point. I call it a house of pain. I do not call this series the house of pain, because if it was the house of pain, it would make his situation exclusive and unique. But I call it a house of pain because I'm trying to make sure that we understand that Jabez is representative of the pain that we all experience. Because all of us have lived in a house of pain. Our pain may be similar to Jabez's, and it may be totally distinct and different from Jabez. But one thing we have in common is that we all know what it's like to live in pain. And the amazing thing about it is, when you look at the trajectory of Jabez's life, to ascend out of the ashes of such dysfunction as he did, and to become so preeminent in his life, where he excelled more than even his siblings, and he was a man of wealth, a man of means, a man of God's hand was on his life, and he was protected from trouble. He stayed out of trouble. All of these blessings were on his life. Against the backdrop of where he came from, it's a reminder that some of the finest people in this world come out of some of the most unenviable circumstances. You understand what I'm saying? Out of the ashes, they rise into prominence and significance. And I kind of think that that's how it goes. Like there is a connection that is an inextricable connection between pain and prosperity. I don't think you can have one without the other. You're going to have trouble before you have triumph. You're going to have adversity before there is advancement. There's going to be hell in your life before you reach heights in your life. It's part of the territory. It comes with the premises. It comes with being a human being. It is part of the process. In fact, in light of this story, I think we can be inspired by Jabez's story. And I want to give you four things that I want to highlight today in this passage, and then we'll go back to our various places and our activities. You can go get you some lemon pepper wings and get ready for the All-Star game. By the way, Wegmans, if you're watching, y'all owe me some wings, because a whole lot of people went and got some wings the other day when I said they should go get your lemon pepper wings over to Wegmans. So if anybody from Wegmans, yeah, send me, hook a brother up with the wings. The first thing I want to point out to you in this passage, my first point, is really a question. And the question is, my brothers and sisters, is what do you do when people who you've caused pain for will not let go of the pain you caused them? Yeah. What do you do when people won't let go of the pain you caused them? What do you do in your life of pain, in your house of pain, when people just won't let it go? See, the reality is we've all experienced pain in life. We all experience pain. But here's the other truth is we've all caused it too. We're not always victims. We're culprits sometimes too. But sometimes you have hurt somebody and caused somebody pain, whether it's unintentional or intentional, and you may have asked forgiveness and you apologize for what you did. But for whatever reason, they will remind you of it into perpetuity. Forever it comes up. What do you do when people won't let go what you did? Let's take a closer look at this passage, because I think there's a message and a lesson in this passage about that very thing. Now go to verse 9 for a second for me, and I want you to see something. There is something about this mother and her feelings about Jabez that I think can be overlooked if we read over it too quickly. It says, there was a man named Jabez who's honorable, more honorable than his brothers and sisters. Watch this. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been painful. She named him something permanently because of something that happened temporarily. Y'all missed that. She named him Jabez, which means you're a pain causer. You're a sorrow maker. Because of her birth. Now, before I unpack that a little bit, let me highlight what I'm trying to teach here by showing you another scripture in the New Testament. The book of John shares something, and I'm sure every mother in here will attest to what John says about this in John chapter 16, verse 21. This is what the Bible says about women who give birth. It says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain. All the mothers say amen. Because her time has come. That's what happens. You're having a baby. That's ever since the fall in the garden, you have a baby, it's going to hurt. But watch this. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And every mother listening to me can attest to that. When you are pregnant and you're at delivery moment, when your time comes, you have pain. But if you go through the process and you and the baby survive and there's a healthy child, all of that pain is extinguished by the joy you feel when the life comes into the world. If I'm telling the truth, put it in the track. Say, I'm tracking with you, Pastor. I'm tracking. So here's the pattern, that when the time comes, there's pain. Everybody say pain. There's pain. The time has come. You go through the pain. The baby comes. The baby's healthy. There's joy. If the baby survives this process, the mother, there's joy. There's pain, the time has come, the pain happens, it's a boy, there's joy. The pain comes, the time has come, it's a girl, there's joy. And it's almost as if the joy erases and replaces the pain. That's normal. It is normal to have pain, and it is normal to have joy. But when Jabez, and go back to Jabez, go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and it had to be normal with all her other children, because we know he has siblings, according to verse 9. But when she had Jabez, she was in pain while she was having him, she was in pain while he was born, and she must have been in pain when after he was born. Because there seems to be no point in time where the joy came. This is very significant. That because she named him what she felt. Okay, let me see if I can help with it right here. If